and welcome to What's My Tagline? I'm your host, Carol Flagg. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, we put our microphone in front of a variety of healthcare marketing, social media, and PR experts and ask them questions as it relates to their occupation on branding, messaging, social media, customer loyalty and retention, and more. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline and follow me at Carol Flagg. My guest today is Kelly Howard, founder of DigiVid 360. Kelly, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Good day. It's wonderful to be invited, and I look forward to having a meaty conversation here.
Yeah. Well, and before we dive into the meat of that conversation, my first question to all my guests is, if you had to describe yourself in a tagline, what would it be?
It's a great question. I think I would describe not so much myself, but kind of where I am in life as video. It's not just for breakfast anymore.
All right. So I will make a note of that, and I'm sure we'll weave that somewhere in the conversation along the way as we go. Kelly, I have to say that you and I have known each other for a number of years now, and I know you have long and deep history in content marketing. So let's start with that. Tell us about your background, how you got into marketing to begin with, and what you're currently doing.
Great. Well, I started out in marketing, working in the department, the marketing department for U-Haul International as a small child when God was a child as well. And from there, I went into media sales and worked for several different television and radio stations back when that was the big thing, and then very quickly got into online marketing when that started to really peak and drive in the market. And that's really what I've been doing for the last 20 years, is really being involved in digital and content marketing, and really a lot on the media side, but also have worked and done some digital agency work as well. And really the last 20 years has really been involved working in the marketing area within digital and content marketing. So working with pharmaceutical companies, working with medical device, working with lately diagnostic and also healthcare systems as well.
So you've been in digital marketing really since the infancy, if we all look to perhaps, I guess, 1998 as the start of the internet, at least from a consumer standpoint. You've been there hanging out for quite a while.
I have indeed. I have to laugh because I think back on the day when I was working for media companies in their digital marketing department, and at the time, the traditional medias were really kind of reigning and the work were king, and the digital was always thought to be something that it was a trend, but it was going to go away. And I remember thinking how wrong they had to be, and how I was always scraping and scratching to try to get resources to kind of bolster and drive the digital marketing services that we were selling at the time that just didn't, you just didn't get the buy-in from the top. It was kind of a trend. And so, fast forward to today, and it just kind of makes me giggle when I think about how things have truly quickly evolved and changed as it relates to the importance of what at one point was called alternative media, and now it is media, so digital.
Digital with a capital D, not a small D.
Exactly, yes.
So your tagline, I actually know, and obviously based on your company name, that your tagline fits into what you're currently doing. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so we, it's interesting. We started out about 2 years ago, really working in that, video marketing area because we saw that video was really going through, a major transition, coming out of the dark ages, if you will. And there were tremendous opportunities where a lot of people were, capturing video, even in companies, but there really wasn't much sophistication on how to best leverage it and amplify it. And so that's why we started in that video marketing area, not video production per se, but much more video marketing. And what it's interesting, what it's morphed into even more now is we're now really starting to expand on the content marketing, that is text content that supports video. It doesn't make sense just to go and work with a client always just offering video and video marketing and how to deploy employ that. But now we're starting to really get involved in creating that content that then supports video, whether that's a blog that is supporting a video or an email or even landing page content. Because video standing on its own is not really as powerful as if you've got good supportive content that really integrates with it. So that's what we're doing today. We have we really now have kind of transitioned from a video marketing company to now a content marketing company that's focused on video, if that makes sense. And we predominantly, about 85% of our clients are in that healthcare sector, specifically an awful lot in that personalized medicine and genomic health area.
I think it's interesting when you talk about content marketing. I think if you took 10 marketers and you put them in the room and you all asked them, what is the current state of content marketing? I think you would get 10 different answers to that question.
I agree 100%. Yeah, there's still a lot of there really isn't a gold standard. And just when you think there is a gold standard, it changes. So I couldn't agree more.
And with all this focus on content marketing, certainly the last 20 years, and it's certainly in health IT, which is a space that I've been in for the last 9 years, even that is evolving every single day. You know, there are a lot of marketing people and PR people who have put this attention on their thought leaders that they work with, that, you know, you've got to blog, you've got to write an article, you know, you've got to get your name out there, and content marketing is a way to do that. But, you know, your take on this is that while that's important, there's a video component here. So talk to us about the current state of video as a content marketing tool and why it's on the rise.
Yeah, well, obviously technology and bandwidth has played an integral role, that video is so much more inexpensive now, not only to develop, but also to distribute. So that has been a big driver. Technology has been a driver. So also what's been a big driver, obviously, is bandwidth. And now that we have so much more spectrum, so much now more bandwidth in the pipe where we're getting our content, that has been a major driver as well. And I think as a result of that, you just now are starting to see, and I think I'd made mention of this at the beginning, that video is kind of starting to quickly transition out of the dark ages. And I, when I refer to the dark ages, I refer to an example of that is video has very much been created for companies on an ad hoc basis. That is, somebody comes over to the communications director and says, we need a video that does this. And they go out and they'll create the video. They'll maybe hire a freelance videographer, or they'll have somebody who happens to have a good camera. They'll go out, they'll videotape it, they throw it up on YouTube, and then they move on. So what's happening now is you're starting to finally see, and this is just the very beginning, you're starting to see companies really look at video as a part of that whole content offering, but also taking a much more strategic look at it. And instead of just, I need a video that does this, we're now starting to see video being kind of factored into content plans and not thinking about it on an ad hoc, but instead looking at it as a part of an overall content plan and thinking about it strategically in a way that the video is now supporting business and content marketing goals versus ad hoc, where there really was no thought to, I need a video that does this. And there was not much thought as to what business goals, what objectives, how is this going to be measured. That was really not factoring into it. Now you're starting to finally see that transition, which is really, really exciting. It's not happening as quickly as as many of us would like, but it is starting to happen. Some other things that we're starting to see as it relates to the state of video and kind of this major transition that's starting to happen is things like you're starting to see video now integrate now with marketing and sales more. And what I mean by that is video is now starting to integrate with, say, marketing automation platforms like HubSpot and Salesforce and Marketo. So you're starting to see metrics that are starting to be integrated in with these tools. So people understand how how people, as they're starting to engage with potential customers, are starting to now engage with videos. Are they watching the whole video? Are they only watching a portion of it? You're also starting to see, as it relates to the sales area, you're starting to see video become much more easily created, and now it's starting to be used on more of a personalized use on sales outreach. So, for instance, email. We're starting to see video not only just occasionally being maybe put with a link in a video or in an email that's going out, but we're now starting to see salespeople who have these great new free tools where they can actually create a short video as an introduction. And it's a great way to start to establish trust and credibility with somebody. If you can create a quick video of yourself that's personalized to somebody, it really sets you apart from all the other emails and outreaches that they're getting. So it really is a great way to do that. And we're starting to see that more and more. Once again, technology is helping do that. There are two free tools. Here's my pro tip. There's a company called Wistia, which is a third-party player, which has a free tool called Soapbox, where somebody can literally, using their laptop, can create a short video. They can even customize it a little bit, and then they can very easily put it in email, send it out, and even track if they actually watched it, how much they watched. So there's a lot of technology that's really helping fuel and drive this.
Well, and I think back to your point, the ad hoc point, that I think there was this flurry of activity around video a few years ago. You know, Google bought YouTube. You know, YouTube's now the second largest search engine after Google. And their marketers were like, "We've got to get video up there. So, you know, we're in SEO. We're showing that we're a part of this." But just like anything, if there's millions of videos on there, you might put a video up there and get very few views, actually, you know, and
right.
So what has that done for you, that, you know, putting that effort into that, and when you get very few views, because not understanding that, you know, who your audience is and how to reach them more effectively?
Yeah, you just hit on a really important thing that is a huge misconception. Although YouTube is certainly could be the second largest search engine, the problem is you have so many companies that are out there using it as their video player and not as a social channel. YouTube is great if you have the resources and staff to really nurture that as a channel, not as a video player. So if you're going to use it and you're trying to kind of leverage the fact that there are so many videos and so much audience there, you need to make sure that, one, your goal is to not drive people to your website, but you're trying to create a true channel all on itself. And in doing that, you need to be publishing videos all the time. You need to be growing subscribers. And if you don't have those two elements, and those subscribers also need to be liking your videos. The more subscribers you have, the more content you're publishing, and the more they're liking your videos will drive your video up in those organic search rankings. If you are just using it as a video player, you have maybe a handful of subscribers, and you occasionally will publish new videos, you're not going to rank. And worse than that, it's really not doing any good for your organic, for your website as well. So that is one of those interesting misconceptions, and that's kind of one of my soapbox issues, I will tell you, is you have so many companies trying to, you know, leverage video because it's so strong as an organic search driver, but it does their website no good. If they're trying to drive people back to their website, you really need to utilize a third-party player like a Wistia or a Vidyard. There's lots of good and expensive players out there, and that is going to really then bolster that organic search that you want for your website. If you just have your videos on YouTube, on your YouTube channel, it's really only bolstering YouTube's organic search. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And that's exactly what YouTube and Google would like.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's also interesting, too, as well, that I don't remember when it happened, but you know, Twitter allowing 140 seconds of video to be shared in tweets, I think is also an indication as to what is happening as it relates to video. I mean, there's obviously FaceTime on Facebook. I mean, it, you know, it's part of these consumer applications that we all do. Video is big video is big with millennials, of course, but it is a growing segment in the B2B space.
It absolutely is. Yep. And it, once again, it's probably one of the best mediums if you're trying to quickly establish trust and credibility and really starting to try to build that relationship. Something video is usually so much better for something like that.
If you're just tuning in, this is Carol Flagg, host of What's My Tagline, and my guest today is Kelly Howard, founder of DigiVid 360. So, Kelly, let's switch gears here for a second. I know you're currently working with healthcare companies on both education and content marketing videos, and I read it on your site recently, your latest blog post, which is Increasing Patient Acquisition Through Education and Engagement. So, big topic in healthcare and health IT. I mean, it's you know, one of the biggest. So tell us about that blog post and what you have to say about that.
So healthcare companies are in an interesting and very enviable position. One, if you're looking at consumers and trying to increase patients, patients have never been more hungry for information and really empowering themselves and taking an active role in researching that medical journey. And additionally, usually healthcare companies specifically will talk here. That blog you're referencing was really in reference to healthcare systems. Healthcare systems have tons of intellectual thought leadership. And so it's just the perfect opportunity to develop content to really help patients do their research and to kind of get on their radar. And you can create video, and they can leverage, obviously, a lot of their own internal thought leadership to really develop great content that patients and potential patients are very hungry to consume. And video, because so many of us are time-starved, and certainly that goes very much for people who are out facing a particular life-threatening disease or a chronic disease, and they're out there trying to consume as much information and get as educated as well as they can so that they can make good decisions. So video plays very much into that, and it's a great way to be able to kind of develop video along that digital journey as consumers are either just starting out their journey, or maybe they don't even have a health crisis at the time, but maybe they're interested in gathering information about preventative related issues. So it's a really good time, no matter what portion of that journey you're trying to reach people and potential patients. It's just a great tool to be able to do that across that journey, patient journey.
So video obviously tells a compelling story if it's done correctly.
Yes, it absolutely does. And it's interesting. It always looks, many times when you look at a video, it always looks so easy. And then many times when you try to put it together, you'll find that it's not as easy as it looks. Another pro tip here, if I could give a word of advice for anybody out there looking to develop video for their company, I would tell you that the pre-planning is probably one of the most important things you can do, even more than the filming, is to make sure that you're doing proper planning and understanding your audience and understanding the goal and how you're going to be measuring. And that's probably more of the important part of the overall developing videos.
So when you work with health systems on education videos, or you work with a healthcare or health IT company on a content marketing piece, what's your first objective when you sit down and talk with them in that planning?
Before we even get into that first discovery call, so let's say we have been tasked to develop a video for somebody, we typically will do some research before we even are in the room with a client. We want to kind of understand what that competitive landscape looks like. We really want to make sure that we understand what that audience looks like as it relates to demographics and personas and things like that. And then once we're in the room with a client, that's when we really want to really pull as much information about that particular, about what the objective is, about potentially pain points, you know, depending on what the project is. But that's really a really important process where we can really gather as much information as possible. But many times before we, like I said, before we've even gotten into that first discovery call, we will have done quite a bit of research so that we can understand many of the important components that go into making a good video.
And what are some of the things that you work with clients on to make this process a success? Obviously, discovery, production value. But I would think that buy-in from the leaders in the company, and they have to be as energized, I would think, about the process of creating a video, whether it's educational or marketing, with you as you are. Because I can hear the passion in your voice for this. And I mean, it's so obvious. And I would think that you would have to get that same level of passion and interest from them to make that a success. Because it's a collaboration, right?
It absolutely is. Yep, it absolutely is. What's interesting is you will feel a bit of angst and concern, especially many times our clients have not produced a lot of videos, so this is many times a new process for them. And I will tell you where you tend to get the buy-in is when you show them the final finished product, many times even the first draft, where they can finally start seeing it come together and they start to truly understand, wow, I think we really have something here. And beyond that, you continue to see buy-in really when you start to now deploy it. So a great example is we just finished a social media video for a healthcare provider, and it was regarding the signs of stroke. And it was a short video, and they published it on social media. Within about a week and a half, there were over 9,000 views. And that's when
wow.
I think you really start to see pretty dramatic buy-in. You know, during the first process when you're developing a video with your client and they've not done it very often, you do see some angst and, you know, they're just trying to understand it. But when they see that first draft and they see that completed video, then they really start to understand. It really starts to kind of gel and start to make sense. It's, you know, I think seeing is always believing, and many times it's difficult to understand what the benefit and advantage is going to be until you actually see the sight sound motion in play.
And is there a best practice that you employ, you and your team employ, as far as the length of video, or is it really as long as a cat's tail, meaning it needs to be as long as it needs to be, or are there really some best practices out there?
Great question. So, honestly, videos, short form is typically something that you're going to see more and more of because people's attention span are only so long. You know, typically when you look at the average length of video view, you start to see drop off at about a minute. And so we try to keep videos no longer than 3 minutes. Now, that can change depending on what the objective of the video is. If it is something where somebody is seeking out information, whether it's a training video or something like that, that obviously then can be a long form because you have people who are committed and want to be there to watch it. But when it's something where you're trying to maybe impart and engage somebody, maybe who's not relegated to have to watch it, whether it's a training video or a speaker presentation, something like that. Those videos where maybe somebody you're trying to entice them, maybe we're starting to try to drive awareness. Those videos you really want to make those a little bit shorter. As a matter of fact, now they're starting to create videos that they call micro videos that are anywhere from 10 to 15 seconds, believe it or not, which is just to quickly interject a quick thought. And then that's really what their purpose is. But videos, as a general rule, typically tend to be on that shorter side. And just because people's attention span is very short.
It's just the world we live in. So we have a few minutes left today. And before we end our conversation, healthcare generally, not always, but generally as a vertical, is generally slow to adopt new technologies and make change. So how are you seeing the intersection of video and healthcare evolving? Obviously, shortened videos, like you said, micro videos, you know, these sort of new concepts, new ideas. How do you see this evolving?
That's a good question. I I'm seeing healthcare, and you, I couldn't agree with you more. It does feel like healthcare is many times slow to adopt. But I'm seeing that, I'm seeing more integration with video within content plans and content marketing, plans, to where, in the past, video has really been in that silo. So we're definitely starting to see, more, movement with video kind of moving away from that silo and now actually being integrated with more of a strategic plan. That's probably the biggest area that I'm seeing.
And Kelly, where can our listeners find out more about your company?
They can always check out our website, which is at digivid360.com, or they can always reach out to me as well, and would love to have a conversation. I will tell people that my mantra is to help, and even if you don't think you have a budget for developing video, give me a call. I'm always willing to help, you know, provide tips and information. I really think of myself as a video marketing evangelist. I just want to see people start to really be able to optimize and utilize video in a way that will really deliver great results. And you don't have to have $1 million or even thousands of dollars to do it now with technology. So I would just say I am willing to help. Give me a call and contact me, and I'm always willing to help.
Because video, it's not just for breakfast.
Exactly. It's not just for breakfast anymore. Oh, no.
Thanks again, Kelly, for your time today. You can share your thoughts or comments about today's episode on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline, or visit the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. Have a topic related to our show you want to hear about, or you an expert who'd like to be on the show, reach out to me on Twitter at Carol Flagg, or email me directly at carol@hightechanswers.com. Until next time, I'm Carol Flagg, and I want to know, what's your tagline?